Hello team, and welcome to episode 513 of the Simply Fit podcast. In today's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dagmar Kuziak. Dagmar is the founder and relationship coach for Insides Match, where she focuses on helping career-driven singles. If you're thriving in your career, but you're not doing so well in your relationships, you are certainly not alone. Many of us go through or are going through a phase in our life where we seem to be finding success in many areas, but the relationship area is still lacking. And if that sounds familiar, you're going to love this episode. In this episode, you can expect to learn what's steps you need to take with yourself before you get into the dating game, how to navigate the urgency to find the one and not settle for anything less than you deserve, along with how to navigate online and in-person dating. So without further ado, Dagmar Kuziak. Dagmar Kuziak, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm grateful to be here, Elliot.
The pleasure is truly mine. I'm excited to dive into our topic of conversation. I have a feeling it's going to be a good one today. But before we do, can you give us a little context about who you are and what it is that you do?
What I do, I'm a relationship coach, and my focus is on people that are typically highly driven professionals, people that do very well at work, but they don't know how to do well or have the same success in romantic relationships. And where my focus is healing is a word that's used a lot, but how I translate it is I help people unglue from attachment and codependency. So all the baggage that we bring into our relationships, I help them unglue that. Look at that first, figure out why they have those patterns. Then when you do that, you can actually achieve personal freedom. So I allow them to see that part of them. So they get to create personal freedom and also get the relationship that they deserve.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel that it's a very underserved demographic as well. Funnily enough, if you spoke to me about 3 years ago, before I met my now wife, I would have been your perfect target of client. I was so kind of obsessed with my work. I was thriving, doing super, super well. And that was kind of 90 to 95% of the way that I spent my time. So this was very much the area that I fell into. It was like, okay, I kind of resigned to the fact that I wasn't going to find a partner for maybe the next 3, 4, 5 years of my life, maybe when I stopped focusing on work so much. So I think it's something that a lot of people, especially as we became more digitalized off the back of COVID as well, are experiencing right now. So I'm glad that we're going to be going into this in depth too. And before we do, I would love to get some definitions, because a lot of people throw around the word attachment and codependency, and I think some people may not fully know what they actually mean or entail. Can you go through that to begin with?
Yeah. So when you bring baggage into your relationship, so what that looks like, you're afraid of rejection. So you don't speak up, right? When you go out, let's just talk about dates. You're going out on dates and you're not speaking up, for instance. You're afraid, or you're inconsistent, right? We know the term passive aggressive, when people, they say they're going to do one thing and then they do another, right?
British people are very good at that.
Exactly. And you see that at work a lot, right? Or people not responding to emails. They said they're going to get back to you and they don't. All of that has to do with attachment. What attachment is, simply, it's how you connect with another person. So if you bring in baggage into your relationships, your connection is fragmented, right? You're not going to have a whole connection with that person. And that's what that's all attachment is. And when people have baggage, all they need to do, I know it sounds simple, but it's not. All they need to do really is heal their attachment or unglue from their past, unglue that attachment. Then what happens is when we have attachment, we automatically are defaulted, unfortunately, to other compulsive tendencies, right? So we could be addicted to work, like you mentioned. That's an addiction. It can be addiction, right? Especially if you spend 95% of your time all at work, it becomes an addiction. People can be also addicted, obviously, to alcohol, right? We're very familiar with that. Addicted to money, all that. But then also with an addiction, which people don't realize, it's kind of less realized, is the codependency. And what that is an addiction to people. When you're people pleasing, for instance, you're doing whatever it takes to make your boss happy, for instance, right? Or whatever it takes to make your partner happy. And you're neglecting your own needs. That's when it becomes codependent, because you're co with yourself and the other person and you're like this. And it's extremely, also unhealthy. And so So the whole thing that I'm trying to get at is if people unglue from their attachment, naturally you're going to unglue from these other things, because the reason you're addicted to people or you're pleasing them or you're not setting the right boundaries, right, setting the right limits with them, is because you have something going on internally inside of you. It could be your fears, your insecurities, and all of that has to do with attachment. So it's kind of a cycle. We go back to people pleasing and doing all this stuff because of our attachment. The reason we do it is because of our attachment. It's just a cycle until we unglue from the attachment.
Okay, perfect. So those definitions are clear now, which is great, because I think it's going to help us with the remainder of our conversation. And now I'm specifically interested, why did you decide to focus on helping professionals find love? What was your interest in this demographic?
Yeah, well, my interest was my story. That's pretty much my story in a nutshell. For me, all my life, so I grew up Polish, and people that are Polish or in Eastern European or in Chinese culture, Indian culture, success is not an option. Like, you have to be successful in school. You have to be a high achiever at work. You know, that's how I was raised, to like achieve, 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 achieve. And that's what I did. I focused my whole attention on doing good in school, getting good grades, going up the ladder, in corporate America, all that. And you know what? None of that made me happy. Like, I was happy for about 5 seconds of a minute. That was it. And then got the next promotion. And then, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. And then the next, right? And so what I wanted to really focus on is, okay, what is it then inside of me? And what I did is I filled that void with relationships. So I went out and dated, not even realizing that I wasn't happy. I wasn't satisfied in climbing this ladder, and this is another thing people don't realize. And I didn't realize is I actually had really low self-esteem. I'm very good at work. I'm good in all these other aspects in my life, even sports, but I still had low self-esteem. And that was like perplexing to me. So I would go out and date and end up in relationships that obviously weren't healthy, because if you have low self-esteem, you can't be healthy. So what made me get into this is I was engaged in 2014 and de-engaged that same year. I was with this person for a couple of years. We were 6 months from getting married. We were almost going down the altar literally in 6 months. And I realized this is not my person. Like, this isn't my person. And I didn't understand that, but he had a lot of narcissistic tendencies, and I also didn't show up as a healthy person, but I didn't understand it. I had these dreams that were very vivid of this person that was poisoning me. And I'm not saying literally he was poisoning me, but I believe like each one of us have intuition. Like, we have intuition, and we can be nudged in one direction or another. And I was pretty much yelled at in my dreams that this was not the relationship that I need to be in. So that was really confusing to me. I was really good at work. I was really good in other aspects of my life, but I could not do this relationship thing. And that's how I decided that I'm going to go into therapy. I went through years of therapy. I tried Tony Robbins. I tried Brene Brown. Whatever ways to find myself. I went acupuncture. I think I was hypnotized a few times, actually for about 6 months. I went through all of this. But they were helping, but nothing really got me into like, what do I need to work on? Until I heard the word attachment. And I said, why hadn't I learned that like 6, 7, 8 years ago? Like, it took me a long time to figure all that out. So that's kind of how I got into it. It's like lots of pain and lots of trial and error. And I finally transformed myself. I am able now to have healthy relationships. Because I put the pieces together for myself. And then I realized, well, maybe I can help other people. And in 2019, I was asked for about a year and a half. I did this. I facilitated a meeting at a women's home for those women that are coming out of drugs and alcohol, but they want to have healthy relationships.
Wow.
And that's how I got into this. That's really how I started. I realized, maybe I can have a business. Maybe I can do this. Like, now that I am healthy and I know how to have healthy relationships, maybe I can help other people. And that's my journey. And then the rest is, the rest is, I guess, history.
Yeah, it's a fascinating journey. And I always say this, I've probably said this about 300, 400 times on all the episodes that we've had, that the best people to help you through these challenges that you're going through are people who have been there themselves. I don't think it's essential, but I think it's extremely helpful because of they've not only got the education that they've gone on to acquire and learn, they've gone through the work themselves. So they'll know what it looks like to be 6 months away from saying I do and feeling like the intuition is screaming at them through their dreams or through their daydreams or whatever that might be, which you just can't learn through knowledge or acquiring education. So I think that's amazing that you've gone through your own story as well, even though at the time it was probably a terrible thing to be experiencing. But now, you know, when you stretch the time frame long enough, you see why that was advantageous as well. So obviously you saw the demand and you traveled down that route as well. And I'm particularly curious, why do you call yourself the unsexy relationship coach? What's that about?
Yeah, so that's a new coin term. That's my new brand. I woke up one day and literally that's the word that came up. That's the phrase that came out. I'm the unsexy relationship coach. And I thought, that fits me very well. The reason I say unsexy, the reason I got unsexy is because when people think of about, I people want to show up sexy in their relationships, right? Show up as themselves and show up confidently. But a lot of folks don't. And so the reason I coined it is because everything I talk about is unsexy. Having vulnerable conversations is unsexy. It's uncomfortable, right? And that's why I've been using that term because, you know, dating is messy. Let's just face it. Going out there and putting yourself out there can be very messy. And I call that messiness unsexy. And the way we show up can be very unsexy. And when, especially if we show up with baggage and all that. So all that stuff around baggage and around the messiness is what I've coined to be unsexy. And what I'm trying to do is help people show up sexy, right? That's what I want them to do, is show up as they're sexy, unapologetically themselves. That's the idea that I'm trying to get, you know, people to get to.
Yeah, I love it. And why is this such a challenge for people who are super, super good at the work that they do? They're thriving professionals. They've got their life together in certain areas. Maybe they go to the gym regularly. They keep their health in check. They've got their own home. They've got a good position at work, but they're just missing this key of love or partnership or whatever they're looking for. I know from my personal experience why that eluded me for many years, but I'm curious to see what reasons pop up when you work with people. What are they missing that they've got everything so organized and well distinguished in their life, but they're missing this piece of the puzzle that's so vital to us all?
Well, yes. So and I thought about this a lot, and also by talking to, you know, different people and obviously clients, there is a couple things. The number one thing I would say is when you're at work, for instance, or at the gym or in other parts of your life, you don't have to have vulnerable conversations, right? A lot of the times the conversations that we have, like at the gym or when we're at work, we don't ask people how they're feeling. And if we do ask them, how are you doing? Everyone says fine or great, and then they just go straight to the project, right? And talk about that. So one of the things is definitely there's not, and Brené Brown talks a lot about that, tapping into being vulnerable, right? Tapping into being able to express yourself. But how do you do that, right? How do you do that? It comes back to unclouding all the baggage stuff. You know what I mean? All the stuff that you have inside of you to be able to do that. And that's the number one thing. The other thing that I've noticed, and this is a part of my story too, is we do focus on our career now because we can. My mom's generation, you get married and you have kids. And then you decide, you know, like, okay, what's next, right? But in my generation, younger generations, we get the freedom of focusing on work, getting our finances together, right? Climbing the ladder. The problem though is, one, that can be an addiction in itself, like I mentioned earlier, right? Where you're just doing that and focusing on that. And then if you have that addiction, I'm sure other ones are going to come in. Well, you might not be happy with your work. So then you're going to start eating, or you're going to start shopping, or you're going to start spending money, and you're bringing all that, right, into dating. So that obviously is not healthy. And Also with that is, as you focus all on work, the other thing I want to mention is, and this is another thing that career focus folks deal with, is the balance between compromise and being highly independent. Highly independent folks, a lot of them tend to go more into becoming emotionally unavailable because, to my point, they don't express themselves right in a vulnerable way. And they're so highly independent that they don't need or want anyone. They're self-sufficient. They can pay their own bills, do everything. But in a relationship, your partner wants to feel needed. They want to feel wanted. They want you to ask them for help. And we don't know how to translate. I mean, I'm speaking for myself and speaking for a lot of folks that part is really hard to ask for help because you don't, I mean, at work, it's a little bit different, but here you're asking sometimes, well, I have a broken leg or just to take the trash out. And we think, no, we can just do it ourselves. And it creates a barrier in the relationship. And I'm curious if any of that resonates for you or if you've dealt with any of that.
Yeah, I think that when you say things like we become highly independent, like I can completely resonate with that. And I also believe that the longer we remain like that, the more we become stuck in our ways as well. And I think that that's a big challenge. And I also maybe have more compassion to the woman in this situation, because I think that perhaps millennials are the overcorrection generation from the sense of, like you said, the boomers didn't have the opportunity, or maybe like this, at least the earlier boomers and the generation that came before that, they didn't have the opportunity to be independent, to have their finances in place, to not actually have to need to rely on a man, quote unquote. So now the millennials are like, well, you know, now we need to fulfill the thing that basically all women couldn't have up until this point, right? And then obviously then that becomes very difficult because there's like, well, okay, if the man is supposed to be the provider, but now I can provide for myself, then I understand that dichotomy. And I think that if anything, it's probably harder for a woman than it is a man. So a lot of it definitely resonates and makes sense with me. It makes sense to me as well. And I think that there's many things that come to my mind, but the one big thing for me was that, okay, well, if I'm not giving so much energy to my career or my work anymore, the energy has to be distributed in another area. So I think that was the biggest thing for me in my mind. It was like, well, how am I possibly going to, like, I'm giving, like I said, 90-95% of my time here, and I'm also enjoying it to a degree. I know that there's some things that are missing, but you know, they're all right for the future. But I think a big one for me was like, okay, well, now I have to put my energy in a different area. It's going to take a lot of my time. And I also, like, I was having therapy at the time, and I think I told my therapist, I was like, well, I don't even have time for that right now. So when my now wife came into my life, that was a complete transition. And obviously, you know, things work out in the way that they do, and it works out for the best, obviously. But at that time, prior to that point, I would have told you I don't have time for a relationship. So it's a big one for me was the time and the foot that I would have to take off the gas. So do a lot of your clients come up against that as well? It's like, okay, well, I don't have anything. I don't have time. I barely have time to keep myself social, to do my tasks at home. And if I take any energy away from that, I don't know how my life is going to stay altogether. Do you find that that comes up a lot as well?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Especially for singles that, because now also, yes, it absolutely does. Because I think now the biggest thing around the time is commitment. Because I don't know where we've shifted. In the past, it was like when you said you're going to do something, right? Like I'm going to the gym at 4, I'm going to go. Now people shift their schedules so much around because their work takes over and they're on a meeting with somebody at the gym told me, she told me, yeah, I'm going to meet you at the gym, whatever it was at noon. And she didn't show, right? So I talked to her about that. And she said, because I was on the phone with someone and I said, well, could you have told them that, you know, you made a commitment, right, to go to the gym? She goes, oh, I guess I could have said that. I didn't think about that. We let other things dictate, and I'm not saying work's not important, but it also it's important to look at, like, you know, if you want a relationship, you've got to focus on that part too, right? It's also committing, like to your point, time to that. So yes, I do have that happen a lot with the singles, but what happens is when they get with me or I start working with them, they realize, oh, okay. And they start to get addicted to this part. I don't know if it's called, I wouldn't say addicted. I don't like the word addicted, but I would say they start to see that they're getting better. You know what I mean? And then they start to make the commitment to continue working with me. But in the beginning, it's hard because it's kind of, again, it's we're a creature of our habits, you know?
Yeah. That's it. And any time taken away from these things has been super advantageous is something that's kind of ultimately it's invading the time that I'm putting into something else that's been very fruitful in my life, right?
Exactly. And it's becoming intentional, right? And again, it's setting the boundaries because if you can't say no to someone at work, then also, you know, even in your romantic relationships, there's times when you need to be able to say no or at least speak up and talk to each other. Right. Otherwise, you're going to be resentful if you continue letting people walk all over you.
Absolutely. So take us through what someone goes through when they come to you, Dagmar. I'm curious, if I came up to you three and a half years ago and I was like, okay, here's my situation. I have this inkling in my mind that, you know, relationships are going to be at some point in my life super, super important. But right now I'm obsessed with my work. I'm maybe semi-addicted in a way. I work from home as well. I'm a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur, and therefore I actually don't find myself in situations where I go out into the world and I see people on a regular basis. But you know what? It's fine right now. I'm living my life. I'm happy. But I feel like, you know, that should be an important part in my life. What would we do to start unraveling all of that to get me into a stage where I was ready to get myself into a relationship?
Yeah. Well, the first thing we would do is we would sit down. Well, virtually, when I say sit down, virtually sit down, we would meet and we would go through, of course, talk about what your challenge, what you see your challenges are, because I always listen and meet people where they're at. I can't tell you, oh, you know what, you have issues. I can already see you have issues with X, Y, Z, right? I'm all about the guide. I'm about people mirroring themselves, talking and seeing for themselves, oh, I have an aha moment on what this is. So the way that I work is we meet, we talk about your challenges or what you foresee your biggest challenges being. And we talk about everything. We talk about your work, how many hours, what does your work, you know, look like? What does other aspects of your life look like? What is it that you want to achieve in 6 months from now? What would you like? What are you doing to get there? We talk about those. And what we do is I'm big on relationship quizzes, or I have my own. It's in-house. It's an assessment that actually shows you there's, you know, how there's quizzes on maybe if you're focusing on the right things with your business or to grow your business. Well, I've got a quiz to show you your health in terms of relationships. Where are you in terms of what kind of baggage? I call them the red flags or the unsexy patterns we have. What is it that you're still carrying? And you're going to be carrying this to work also. It's not just stuff that's romantic, you know, it's for romantic relationships. But if you have any insecurities, right, or you have beliefs about yourself, you're carrying those into work. So you're probably not going to be the most effective at work too. We uncover all of that through going through the assessment. And it takes about, I do that in my calls because I think it's important to go through that and the meal to talk about what shows up for you. And once we go through that, then I develop a roadmap. It's a roadmap. I have a 5 and 9 week roadmap. But what I do is I develop a roadmap to show you what it would look like for us to work together from week 1 to week 9, right? And sit down and focus on those things. So an example, okay, just to give you an example, if you have issues around, say you have some low self-esteem issues, and I also look on the assessment, a low sense of self. You don't really know what your needs are. You know, you think you know what you want in life, maybe, but you're not really sure what that looks like. And you certainly don't know how to express that, even if you knew that, right? Let's just say that's an example. And let's just say another example. Okay, let's just use that because I don't want to go into all, it's too much details. But if we use that as an example, then it makes sense that when you go in a relationship, you might go on a date where the person just monopolizes the conversation and you just listen because you don't really know how to express yourself or, you know what I mean? Or how to get into the conversation. Or you might just have superficial conversations. Either way, it's not going to lead to a healthy relationships. So what we do is we look at those and we say, okay, let's come up with a plan on how to unglue from those. And the way we have to unglue from those is we have to look at what your core, some of your core beliefs about yourself are. We have to look at where those issues stem from, where they come from. And then I build a roadmap of, you know, and it takes about, I would say anybody, I would say 4 to 5 weeks to really unglue that stuff and really actively working on it. And so I give tools. I have exercises that my clients use. You know, the following week, we check in on the exercises and what they're doing, how they're feeling and all of that. And we go through the whole process. Then after that, right, you become familiar with ungluing from the past. We get into the who are you exercises, all around who you are as a person and what you stand for. Because a lot of people don't even know, like I'm adamant. There's some things that I stand for that are very important. I'm definitely pro-choice, right? That's an example of something that's very important to me. So I could never be with somebody who doesn't support women's rights. Doesn't mean you have to be an activist and be, you know, giving money to women's rights, but it just means that you respect women, right? And you show it, things like that. And we get into your values and all the stuff that matters, your needs, your non-negotiables, the things that your all financial stuff, you know, stuff that is really important to look at. And then that's the sexy part, or what people really enjoy, is the dating part, right? We get into, once you prepare now and you're prepared, you know yourself better, what questions do you ask, right? What does that look like? When do you bring up stuff around finances? How do you bring up stuff around that? You know, we go through all of that. I've got somebody now and he's practicing, you know, he's going out there dating and practicing. And then we check in, right, to see how it's going. Dagmar, I don't know what this means, you know, let's talk about it. But my approach is that I don't tell people like, hey, these are the exact questions you ask and this is how you ask them. But I give the frame and then the person works with me, right? We work together to come up with what that would look like. I don't believe in cookie cutters, because at the end of the day, I want this to be you showing up as your authentic self and showing up as you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it makes total sense. And I think that's probably the most important thing that you can do and the most important positions will arrive at is your authentic self. Because I think that there's a lot of hidden secrets within dating, right? Like we try to show up as our best self. And I don't think anyone should go like, you know, to a date in their pajamas and whatever they're, you know, not really making an effort or anything like that. Like I think they should make an effort and show up at their best. But at the same time, I think you have nothing to lose when you show up authentically. And I think that if you've done the work beforehand to not fear rejection, because you might end up on a date with someone who is completely incompatible with you and you might feel a sense of rejection because they don't really gel with your personality. But if you're showing up as your authentic self, then you can be sure that that person wasn't for you. And then you're actually okay with that, because it's more important for you to have your integrity than to be someone you're not.
Absolutely.
You
know?
And I think that that's such a, yeah, I think it's such a powerful position to be in. And you go from, does this person like me, to do I like this person? Are we actually compatible? Is this something I actually want to pursue long term? Because of, I don't want to be hiding behind this mask that I've put on if this is going to be a long-term relationship, right?
Bingo. Yeah. And you hit on a really important point. It's just as important for them to get to know you as you to get to know them. It's not all about, hey, do they like me? What do they think about me? And that's the part of attachment that I want people to really understand. When we have those insecurities, then what happens is after the date, we end up obsessing about the date. We want to reach out to them. We want to call them. We want to go see them again. Because we want so badly for that validation. But when you come from a place of wholeness, you're like, okay, you're still going to have some of those feelings, right? Some of those feelings, I mean, we're human, will come up, but you're not going to be obsessing about that, right? You're going to be like, okay, it was a date. I like the person, but you know, it's up to them now. It's in the balls in their court to make sure that, you know, I'm also compatible or they feel interested in me. So yes, that's so important that you brought that up, because it's a two-way street and we don't think that way. You know, your thinking changes when you change your attachment. You're thinking completely, you just have a shift. And that's why I call it ungluing, because then you have a shift and you can think about things in a healthy way.
And I don't know how common it is or what the percentage is, but I would say that the majority of people probably fall into the category of, does this person like me, not do I like this person. I think it's kind of human nature to a certain degree, and maybe it's, I don't know, like a 20-80 split. Most people 80% thinking, do they like me versus do I actually like them? So it's a big transition, and I'm curious, there's going to be a lot of people who go through this, and again, I want to go down the route of a woman because I think it's maybe a little bit more essential for a woman to find a partner sooner if they are to have children. You know, the biological clock does indeed tick. And let's say we've got a woman who's maybe, I don't know, 35, 36, she's getting towards the back end of what would be considered an easy position to be in to get pregnant naturally, right? And let's say she's going through her journey, she's having a lot of dates, etc. How does she stop herself from not just going down the route of, okay, this person's maybe they've got a few amber flags here or there, you know, they're maybe not the most perfect person. I can see a few things that maybe I would be hesitant on, but I really want to find someone right now. I really want to make sure that we've got enough time to get married, have children. And also I'm feeling lonely. Maybe I've been, you know, in a position where I've not had a partner for a very long period in my life. And I am fighting these feelings of loneliness. I want to have a child. All these things feel very dependent on getting a partner right now. How do we make sure that we still choose the right person, even though we might be going through a ton of frogs and we can't find our prince or princess just yet? Like, how do we resist going through the temptation of settling too early just due to these circumstances versus waiting for the right person, even if it takes years longer than we want it to?
That's a really good question, right? Because yes, if there's a sense of urgency, well, you know, if there's a desperation, people also, they see that desperation and you're going to be attracting someone that obviously is not going to be right. It's kind of like in jobs, right? When you're desperate to get a job and the recruiter on the other end senses your desperation, you may get the job, but it probably was not, I imagine it won't be the great, you know, the job that you want, or you're not going to be in the situation that you want. So there is a balance, right? Between, I get it, you have a biological clock ticking, there is some desperation, but also you want to make sure you're in a healthy relationship. The way to come across that is, again, it goes back to, there's a balance. There is still work to be done. So I have an ebook that actually talks a little bit. It goes into actually quite a bit about the preparation aspect of what you need to work on. And with someone like that, the thing is to be clear, it's not that complicated. If you're clear, to be clear on your needs, what your non-negotiables are, and your values and lifestyle. Like, those are the four things that need to be clear. And so anyone, regardless if you have a biological clock ticking or you have more time, right? Those are the four things. And then what it is, it's all about strategizing. If I know, for instance, I'll give you an example, right? For me, one of my top values is around spirituality. It doesn't mean I'm religious. It doesn't mean I don't go to church or anything like that. But I'm not going to go meet someone at a bar or go meet someone naturally at, you know what I mean, at a place that they drink a lot. One, because that's an addiction. And two, that's probably not a place where I'm going to be. They'll probably find someone in their head while they're drunk. They might have a spiritual moment, but that's not the moment that I want, right? And so it's also strategizing. It's like everything. You can do it. It's kind of like in a business, right? How do you generate leads and all that? Well, if you're in a rush or you're broke, like say you're a single mom, you're broke. I've heard a lot of stories like that, right? It's all about it, all at the end of the day becomes about strategizing and figuring out, what do I have to do, right? And in desperation, a lot of times we are quicker to do that because we're in a lot of pain and we want to be in a partner. So the other thing is, besides the four things I've listed, is to strategize, where would you meet that person? Again, lining with those four things, you can put that pieces together and do it quicker than you would think. It doesn't have to be online. Now, online is an option, but I gear people to be more creative than that. Just because a lot of now online, you can be lucky, right? I'm not saying you don't put yourself out there. But I would say there's other places where you can meet people depending on, you know, those four things.
Absolutely. And it's a fascinating world and dynamic. I actually saw a recent Instagram reel where someone was giving dating advice, and they were saying that if you want to find a partner, go to the gym at Saturday or Sunday around 8 a.m. because there's a good chance that they would not have been drinking or partying all night if they're in the gym at 8 a.m. on a Saturday or a Sunday. So as you mentioned, like, be strategic about the environments that you show up in. And if you don't really like the idea of your partner going out, drinking regularly, taking drugs, then probably not wisest things. Like, you might find them in a club every so often, but again, you're gonna have to like strike gold. Better chance to, I don't know, find them in a running club, for example, or a library or a coffee shop, right? Like, you have to be more strategic about the environment. So I think that's a really important piece.
Exactly. And then one of the things I want to mention, like, for me, for instance, I've been in Houston all my life, or not all my life, that's not true, but I've been in Houston, Texas for a long time. And one of the things for me is I have become very clear is the city is not really aligned with my values or the culture, right? Because every city, every place has culture. Now, it doesn't mean if you're unhappy, move, because you're bringing that unhappiness, right, to the next city. But if you have worked through this stuff, then that's another thing. You might realize, wow, the location that I'm in is not aligning with my soul. So, you know, and that's scary for a lot of people to pick up and leave, but that's another option, you know. So it's just putting the plan together and preparing and strategizing. So I think a lot of times we want desperation. What happens in desperation? We don't strategize. We become desperate. So we're like, okay, I'll go to the bar. I'll go with my friends here. I'll go with my friends here. And we're not spending time in places that you're going to meet someone that's going to be aligned with you.
100%. And you, again, like, coming back to like memes and reels and stuff like that, you always see those ones where someone's saying, waiting for my dream guy or girl to knock on my door because I never leave my kitchen table because I'm always like at home and doing all this. It's like, you got to put yourself out there as well. If you really want to find someone, you have to put yourself out there and put yourself in the right position as well. So I really think that's an important point to hit. And let's stay on this preparation piece, because I find this to be really, really important. Because if, let's say, you put yourself in the right environment, but you haven't done the preparation. And I think that this happens a lot, where people, you know, they think they're prepared and they're ready for this relationship of their dreams, and then they find out that they're still an extremely jealous person, they're extremely possessive, or they're extremely obsessed with other aspects of their life, like their work, or they love female or male attention, and they're not actually ready because they haven't done the work. So what would you say are some of the absolute keys, you know, people that need to tick off the list in order to be fully prepared to bring in a healthy and constructive relationship?
Well, I think the number one thing is around self-confidence and self-esteem. That's the number one, because without that, and there's this thing, you know, the saying, the fake it till you make it. I don't believe in that at all. Like, I'm not about faking anything. I believe that the only way to show up, what Brené Brown says, vulnerably, or show up as yourself. My tagline is to show up as your unapologetic self. The only way to do that is really to break the barrier of self-esteem and self-worth and build that up. And there are ways to build up confidence. Putting yourself out there, for instance, not telling everybody to go out and do a business, but do small little things. Maybe you've always wanted to go air ballooning. Maybe you've always wanted to go dancing, but you're afraid because none of your friends want to go dancing. And you go out there by yourself, you know, go out there by yourself, try a couple of steps. Those things build confidence, right? And self-esteem. Maybe it's removing yourself from a toxic work environment, because that's going to kill you. You know, I mean, that's going to progressively diminish your self-esteem, especially if you have a boss or someone that's demeaning, right? All of that. So those are the things to look at. Is the number one thing I'd say is self-esteem, and that can be rebuilt. That can be established, because I am a testament of that. I was a recovering anorexic, bulimic, had a lot of issues with self-esteem, self-confidence, needed tons of validation from people. That was never enough. So that's the number one. When you have that, a lot of the other stuff, like the need for validation, pretty much goes away, or it's, I wouldn't say necessarily goes away, but it's lessened by a lot. The second thing that I would say for someone, once you work on the self-esteem, and I'd also say part of self-esteem is sense of self, knowing yourself, knowing your needs, knowing how to express them. That is also another one. And when you have that, you're going to be emotionally available because now you're able to express. You know yourself, you know your needs, you know what you want, you know what's important to you, are happy with yourself overall. Then you're going to be able to be emotionally available because that is the other killer, is being emotionally unavailable in relationships. So I would say yes, self-esteem, sense of self, and being emotionally available. Those would be the three. And those are the three that in the quiz, it's a free quiz people can take. It's a free healthy relationships quiz. You can see where you are in those areas. But if you have any issues in those areas, that's where I would focus the attention. Because everything else then is, it's going to be very hard for you to show up. And you might be at the right place, but you're never going to see, because you have clouded lens, you're never going to see a person that is actually the right person or is a good fit for you because you're not there yet.
You have to be on that journey and you have to be trying to attract the energy that you're putting out ultimately. And until you start doing that, it's going to be very, very difficult. And do you have any advice for the online and the in-person world? Because I think a lot of people have fears around the online world because it's all very superficial. It's hard to get to depth very, very quickly. And then in the real world, I think a lot of people are kind of afraid of actually approaching someone. You know, I can't scroll through social media without seeing a video of someone in the gym recording themselves and saying that this man is being a predator. In some senses, they are. Like, that's the reality. There is a lot of terrible things that go on. But there's also many times where a man is just politely coming up and saying, hey, you know, you look kind of pretty. I just want to start a conversation, you know, and then they're put all over social media and they actually went in with very innocent intention. So it's almost like, it's very precarious, the situation of dating right now, in terms of online super superficial, and then in person is like, we need to be careful of overstepping people's boundaries because we don't really know where they are. So how do you navigate that dynamic?
It's a really good point, because there's a lot of truth to that about the social media, or not the social media, well, social media and doing the online apps, where it is pretty superficial. People typically click left, right, swipe left, swipe right. And you're swiping based on an appearance, right? The first thing you see is someone's face. It's not like
that decision within like half a second.
Exactly.
You don't give it much longer than that.
You don't give it much longer. And that is very superficial. And you might just have a bad hair day or a bad angle. I mean, even celebrities, right? Most attractive celebrities we see have bad angles. They have bad days and don't have makeup on. You don't have to necessarily discard online. I'm not a huge proponent of online dating. There's so many other ways to date, but I won't steer people away if that's what they want to try. The only thing, again, if you know yourself better, you're going to know also what questions to ask, and you're going to be able to at least discern whether or not people are serious or not. You know what I mean? Like, if you ask them questions, obviously most people start with like work, right? You're not going to really know if they're the right fit for you or not. You know, I mean, maybe they're driven like you. That's great. That's a good start. But as you know yourself better, you're going to know what questions to ask, because I think that's the other thing that I'm learning in the dating world. Regardless if it's online or in person, people don't know what questions to ask. They just meet the person. They're like, oh, that person's cute. I'm talking about online. And then they go meet the person. It's like, and I get this all the time. Like, Dagmar, I'm so stressed out. I'm so fatigued from dating. I'm burned out. Well, are you discerning? Well, what's that? Well, are you checking, you know, asking them questions and trying to see if they align on certain things? And before even meeting, get on a FaceTime with them. See what their environment is. Do the guys have their shirts off and they're, I don't know, right? Going to the gym or showing their abs out. I mean, check out that also, right? Before you meet them, there's ways to save time also quickly. And people go on their first dates and they go on dinner dates. Like, why are you going on a dinner date on the first date? You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's a lot, again, it goes back to strategy, it goes back to strategizing better. So that's what I would say, like, for the you know, online, there, it doesn't matter if it's online or in person. In some ways, if you know what you're looking for and you know the questions to ask, and you, and also if you have good boundaries, again, that's part of what I work with my clients, you're going to know how much time to spend online too, because it's easier to be swiping for 2-3 hours. You don't want to be doing that. It's a complete waste of time. In terms of like in person, also, the thing is I have a meetup group. It's virtual. I mean, everyone's from all over, but it is around healthy relationships. That's my meetup. People Google healthy relationships meetup. I'm one of the first on Google to show up. I didn't do that. That just happened to be that way. But when you click on that, you at least know people want healthy relationships in terms of my meetup. So I think that's a good start, right? And then as you learn strategies and preparation, and people are going through, and you can see people going, showing up to my webinars, they can meet also through that, right? They're like, oh, well, this person's also interested in the same topics. So I would say, again, strategize, go to webinars that you're interested in, go to whatever, if you're interested in meditation, go to some meditation retreats, you're going to meet people like, and you won't be so afraid to approach them because you know you're all into the same thing. Like you all want, you obviously are meeting in Sedona, you obviously are meeting with people, then talk to them. And I think the approaching doesn't become about dating, it just becomes about getting to know them. And you know, they're at least interested in the same things.
I like that a lot. I think it's powerful. And I think it's very, very wise to kind of just take a step back and think about how you're going to approach those worlds, whichever one you go into. And like you said, if you go about strategizing in the right way, if you put yourself in the right environments, you probably won't be on the end of any of these difficult interactions. And you might be, but they're going to be few and far between compared to if you're only swiping or you're only trying to find your partner at a club and you don't want someone to drink or take drugs or anything like that. So I think that's super, super valuable. Well, Dagmar, this has been a fascinating conversation. I had a good feeling that it would be, and I'm glad that we have had this. And I wanted to ask you a final couple of two questions. And the first one I wanted to ask is, what impact do you want to have on the world with the work that you do?
That's a good question. Well, the impact that I want is I would love for everyone. I know that's a lot of impact, but I would love for everyone, it would be everyone in my perfect world, to have healthy relationships. Like I would love people to really understand themselves and to learn what loving yourself really looks like. What does it look like to actually enjoy your own company? You know, earlier you're talking about people that are lonely and maybe more desperate to meet people, but what does it look like to not be that? To be okay with your own self, to be, you know what I mean? To be okay with your own, in your own skin. That's what I would love people to take away from, well, this podcast and my impact is for them to be able to have that, you know, self, they call it self-love, self-compassion, because with that, then the rest is possible. But without it, it just makes for a very lonely, disconnected, I would say sad life. Because I've been there. I'm saying that from somebody of experience. I've been to in that life, and it's not fun at all.
I love that. I love that. I think the mission that you're on is a very important one, and one that you're going to continue fulfilling. I have no doubt about that. And where is the best place for people to find you if they want to keep up with the work that you're doing and everything you've got going on?
Yeah, well, it would be great if they get on insidesmatch.com. That's my company. I'm the founder of that company. Then they can subscribe to the newsletter. It's completely free. And then we can go from there.
Amazing. Well, I'll put all of that in the show notes below. But Dagmar, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a fascinating conversation.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it. And I'm grateful for being part of this conversation.
And that was the Simply Fit podcast. I hope you gained a huge amount of value from today's episode. I feel inspired to improve your health and well-being. Be sure to search for Simply Fit in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcast from. And go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Also, if you like the episode, please don't forget to give it a 5-star rating. I'd love to hear your feedback or any questions you have. So reach out to me on social media. You'll find me on Facebook and Instagram at Elliot Hassoun. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to talking with you all on the next one.